welcome back to Writers After Dark. As always, good stories start with the writers, because wherever there's a story, someone's making it up or writing it down. I'm your host, Summer Brooks, and my guest today is comics author and illustrator Jeff Weigel. He has a new young adult-centric graphic novel out coming from Lion Forge Comics called Quantum Mechanics, and the art for this is gorgeous. The story is a lot of fun. It's actually something I could see easily being turned into an animated series if we were so lucky. But it's creative, inventive, and instructional all at the same time. So we will talk with Jeff and dig into more about this story. Welcome, Jeff.
Hi. Good to meet you.
So where did Quantum Mechanics come from? The story is about two alien girls on a faraway planet that, for lack of a better description, their livelihood has fallen off because a space superhighway was built that bypasses them, and they get up to shenanigans.
It's evolved over quite a long time, to tell you the truth. It's originally an idea that I had constructed as a picture book, and this was probably 10 years ago, maybe more. And it still had that basic idea of the two mechanics that lived on the outskirts of space and worked on old junker cars, and they sort of get shanghaied by a spacecraft that. To become their onboard mechanics, and I never sold that as a picture book, but I always kind of liked the idea, and I had a lot of art left over from the picture book proposal that sort of still nagged at me, and so I ended up recycling the whole idea as a graphic novel years and years after the initial proposal had been rejected over and over again. And this time it was a graphic novel, and I just I made the two main characters teenage girls, or like middle grade age girls. And I guess what attracted me to the idea at the very beginning was what I usually do when I'm constructing a project is I think, okay, I'm going to do a graphic novel, and I'm going to have to draw something a million times. If it's going to be 200 pages long, I'm going to have to do a lot of drawing of whatever this novel is about. So I make sure that it's something that I think would be entertaining to draw. And so the first part of it becomes, what would I like to draw for the next year and a half? And a few years back, the answer turned out to be dragons, and that resulted in my graphic novel, Dragon Girl. This time out for Quantum Mechanics, it turned out to be spaceships and aliens, and so that was sort of the beginning basis of how it evolved into a graphic novel for me.
Well, I'm a huge fan of space opera. I always have been, and this, to me, this story, since it's focused on a couple of middle grade girls who are mechanically gifted and through their own precociousness and search for freedom, allow themselves to be, like you said, shanghaied by space pirates, but they don't let that stop them from learning and plying their craft that they want to become better at. And
well,
they
almost, to a degree, they look at it as an opportunity. They say, oh man, we should work on this giant space pirate ship for a while and take it all apart and figure out how it works. And as long as we've been kidnapped, we may as well sort of make ourselves at home and figure out how this ship runs.
And it's so adorable the way they're like, well, you know, hey, this is broken. Maybe we can fix it. And, you know, the guy with the cybernetic arm says, hey, my arm's been acting up. Can you? Oh, sure. No problem.
Right.
And it's just it's wonderful because space opera is not something you have an easy gateway drug to for younger readers. You know, most of the space opera that I came up reading that still gets produced is the large, epic, political space intrigue battles, and your average you know, adolescent teenagers going, meh, really? But this story, I think, could hook a few who might be leaning towards space opera and just don't know it yet. And it's the story is so fast and just has a light, fun touch to it, even though you know you're talking.
Yeah, that was very deliberate on my part. I wanted something that was going to be very light and fun to read. I also had a goal of, you know, you refer to it as space opera. And I have to admit, that's the first time that phrase has ever crossed my mind in regards to quantum mechanics. I wasn't thinking of it in those terms at all, although I think that applies pretty well to it. But, well, you know, what I wanted was two girl characters who had a really close friendship, which is part of the title, you know, quantum mechanics. Quantum means something that can't be split into, you know, smaller segments when they refer to, you know, quantum particles and things like that. And I sort of thought of their friendship in that way, too. These two who were just inseparable and sort of became a unit. And I also wanted girls who were interested in something besides boys, or didn't regard themselves as princesses in the sort of Disney sense, too. So these are two really mechanically inclined and very interested in mechanics girls who are focused on things that you don't usually see girl characters focused on. And that was a big part of my motivation for how quantum mechanics came about, too.
Yeah, it's like, I guess quantum refers to the indefinability of their friendship, and oh, hey, yeah, they're mechanics too.
Yeah. Well, the inseparability of their friendship is the way I thought of it, which is sort of the definition of quantum. Mm. Before this, I had just come off a book, a graphic novel that I didn't write, that a science writer for kids named Sarah Latta had written and that I illustrated. And it's the graphic novel of the science behind the Large Hadron Collider in Switzerland, the big science experiment over mm-hmm. there, the particle physics thing. And so I guess that put me in the mind of quantum mechanics to some degree. And I got a little bit of background. There's not really a lot of science in quantum mechanics. It's mostly just sort of fun sci-fi adventure type stuff. But I guess maybe some of that, doing that science book, rubbed off on me to create the quantum mechanics too.
Mm-hmm. We can chalk that up as the influence of Star Trek's technical handwavium. But you also, like I said, you wrote this, you drew it, you colored it, you created this from top to bottom. And
yeah.
Like I said, the designs of the characters and the ships, just, it was the cover that caught my eye. And then when I started reading through it, it was the actual colors of the planet, the two main characters, was it Rox and Zam, are living on. And then you've got the rich hues of deep space after they are, you know, on the pirate ship. And uh-huh. And then I got to the end and I see this section that says creating quantum mechanics. And you basically give like a little primer on how you went through each step in like creating the story, designing mm-hmm. the characters, designing the ships,
yeah.
and then doing like penciling, scripting, inking, coloring, all that. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like a little like webinar class back here. So where?
And that's exactly what it's intended to be, yeah. Because I get so many questions about that from kids. I'll do school visits to help promote my books. And there's always some artistic kid in there who's just dying for specific information about how to jump to the next level. And I remember being that same kid, too, many years ago, when I was, you know, drawing my comics on the butcher paper that my dad brought home from his butcher shop, not even knowing that something called Bristol board existed. So I thought, you know, if I had just had a little good advice from somebody who knows what they're talking about, I wonder how much faster I might have progressed as an artist when I was a kid. And so that whole section in the back is sort of intended to fill in a lot of the blanks for any would-be artists out there.
So which part of your, I guess, skill set did you evolve first? Was it the storytelling, the writing, or were you an artist first and then the storytelling, the writing came along after?
Yeah, I would say I'm an artist first. And, you know, when I first started in the comics business or attempted to get into it, I thought of myself as an artist, and I was just hoping to get work drawing someone else's scripts. And I just never got offered scripts that I really liked very much. And I ended up going, well, if I'm going to draw something that I want to draw, maybe I have to write my own story. And so it started that way. And then when it came time to enlist the inker, I would say, well, I can't find anybody who either wants to work with me or whose work I like very much. I guess I have to start becoming an inker now. And the same thing with lettering. And then when digital color came in, it was the same thing with digital color. Well, I can't afford an outside digital colorist, so I guess I'm going to have to do that job too. And at the end of the day, I just ended up with the whole range of skills just out of necessity more than anything else.
So when you do a book like Quantum Mechanics, how long does it take you to do each piece? I mean, for Quantum Mechanics specifically, you said you had the story rolling around. How long did it take you to write the script and then to draw it and then do all the other, the inking, the lettering, the coloring? What's that process like?
Well, it doesn't happen page by page. In other words, I don't do a complete page and then go on to the next page and do a complete page in terms of penciling and then inking and then lettering and scripting and all that kind of stuff. First, I have to have the story all in my head from beginning to end. And I have, not only for myself, but also to sell it to a publisher, I have to have a complete picture of what that story is going to be as it unfolds so that the editor has something to base their judgment on. So in the case of Quantum Mechanics and every other book I've ever worked on, I have a story synopsis that might be, you know, a few pages long, a few single-spaced typed pages that tells the whole story. So I know what it's going to be. The next stage is I will thumbnail the whole thing out. And this is assuming I've already sold the thing to a publisher, and the publisher has said, yeah, we want to do this, and it's going to be, we want it to be roughly 200 pages long or whatever length they're setting it at, so I know what I'm shooting for. And then I'll thumbnail out all 200 pages. And that way, all the storytelling heavy lifting is already all worked out. I know how many panels are going to go on each page. I know how much of the story unfolds on each page. I know in each panel whether it's going to be a close-up or it's going to be, you know, an establishing shot from far away, you know, whether it's going to be a high-angle shot or a low-angle shot. All of those storytelling decisions are made at the thumbnail stage. And once I have worked for weeks to thumbnail out the whole story from beginning to end, and I have 200 thumbnails, that's when I'll start doing pencil pages. And because I'm inking myself, I do relatively rough pencil pages, just enough to make sure that I have a good foundation for the drawing when I try and finish it. And after that pencil part of the drawing is done, that's when I do the scripting, actually. So the story, the artwork comes first because I really want the pictures to tell the story more than I want the words to tell the story. So, hopefully when you thumb through one of my books, without even reading any of the word balloons, you get a pretty good sense of how the story is unfolding if I've done my job right just by looking at the pictures very quickly. So then the scripting comes next, and that happens in the computer. And after that, generally I'll send that batch of pages off to the editor as I go to make sure that they think I'm on target. And if they okay everything, that's when I'll get down to the inking. And in the case of quantum mechanics, since it was a color book, then the next stage is to color the page. I would say that if you sort of added up all the time spent on each individual page, that's 8 to 12 hours a page from the very beginning to very end, from, you know, the time that the thumbnails get started to the time that it's all been colored and the page is all finished. So hopefully that answers your question, even though that it's not, the process doesn't work exactly that way. But you know, if I ran a clock and stopped it every time I stopped working on one part of it and started again on the next, I think the clock would probably show about, let's say, 10 to 12 hours for every page to complete it. But when you think about the fact that, you know, it's a 200-page graphic novel, and that means, well, quantum mechanics took me a year and a half to do. So, I don't know, does that answer your question? Does that make it?
Yeah.
That was sort of a roundabout way of answering a fairly simple question.
Well, it's a good guide to give someone a ballpark. You know, you might have someone who's going, yeah, I want to write comics, and realizing it's like, well, it takes at least a year to get through this thing, and it might even take longer if you're working with somebody else who's the illustrator. Like, you're writing it, somebody else is illustrating it. It could take a long time. So just having people hear from you who's created some really cool stuff, you know, let them know it's like, yeah, this takes a while, but you get it. You know, if you're dedicated to it and you love what you do, it's okay.
Yeah. And everything that I just described to you is included in that back section that you mentioned earlier, mm-hmm. in the book, in even more detail, actually. So anybody who's really curious about my process and how it might relate to their work habits, should really take a look at that section. I think they'll learn a lot from it.
Yeah, I think it took me almost as long to go through that section as it did to read through the actual story. Because
oh.
I was just fascinated with the breakdown and how clear and concise it is. And you have not only your own website online, but something called robotsinquicksand.com,
yep.
which is a site full of advice for artists and people who find themselves the parents and teachers of artists. And I thought that was just fascinating too, because you're sharing what it's like to be an artist and what you should go for if you want to be an artist. Tell us more about how that site came about.
Well, I was looking for a way of self-promotion the way so many creators do. And I just wanted to give people a reason to go to my website and pay attention to my work that was just beyond them being curious about what it was I was doing on any given day. And I do a lot of school visits to help promote the books that I have published. And I get questions about how I do what I do by kids who are obviously interested in doing comics themselves. And so I thought maybe the best way to attract people to my work and to also to my, you know, philosophy of how I go about my work was to create Robots in Quicksand. And it has pages that are, you know, web comics. Actually, it was mainly created as a way of a home for continuing the Dragon Girl graphic novel that I had done a few years before. If you look there, you will find sort of a Sunday newspaper strip style continuation of that story, and maybe at least one other sort of online web comic that I had created just to entertain people and just as a venue for myself and for ideas that I hadn't sold to any publishers or wouldn't find attractive for one reason or another that I still wanted to pursue. But there's also sections on there that gives advice to young artists interested in doing their own comics, and there's a section there of free stuff that they can download, like drawing templates if they want to create their own superheroes, but they're not very confident about their ability to draw figures. There's these sort of template pages that they can then draw costumes over the top of. They can just print out on their home printer, things like that. Just all sorts of aids for teachers and for kids who just could use a leg up in getting themselves started at telling graphic stories.
Cool. Now, Quantum Mechanics is from Lion Forge, which is a comics imprint that I admire greatly. Are you planning any follow-up stories with them, and more specifically to my greedy need for more fun, more Quantum Mechanics stories?
We haven't talked about any more Quantum Mechanics stories, but they're certainly interested in looking at more of the stuff that I have planned for the future. In fact, I have a proposal in with them right now that my editor, Andrea Colvin, had seen back before she was with Lion Forge and was really interested in. And now that Quantum Mechanics is done and out of the way, I reminded her of that and asked her if she wanted to take another look at it. And so that's on her desk right now. So I don't know if she's still interested and the rest of the Lion Forge team are still interested. That may be my next project. I can't tell you too much about it right now. But in other words, there are things in the works with them right now. They're probably going to be my first go-to whenever I get to the next idea for what I want to do. And we haven't had any discussions yet about continuing Quantum Mechanics. It just came out last week, so they don't have any sense of, or at least I don't have any sense of sales figures or anything like that. Those decisions are frequently dependent on how well something sells. I'm sure that that'll be the case with Quantum Mechanics, too.
True. Is that a series that you would like to do more of?
I haven't given it a lot of thought, but I get so involved with the characters that I do these graphic novels about that I'm always happy to jump back in and do some continuation of their stories. Like I mentioned my previous graphic novel, Dragon Girl, earlier, and even though the publisher decided they didn't want to do a sequel to it, I was interested enough in doing that I posted a Sunday strip continuing the story on Robots and Quicksand, like we had talked about previously.
Cool.
So in other words, these characters sort of become old friends, and it's hard not to think about what the other possibilities are for storylines as you're working on the current one. Yep, sure, I'd be glad to revisit Rox and Jam and see what they have cooking up next.
Are you doing any visits to various Comic-Cons around the country to sort of help spread the word about Quantum Mechanics this fall, this winter, maybe?
I haven't. I'm pretty far away from any other Comic-Cons this fall, I think. I sort of missed the season for the most part because the book just came out, and, summer and early fall are really Comic-Con convention season. So I sort of missed that window for this. I may very well try and do some things in the spring when the season starts up again. But I don't know for sure because those things become such expensive enterprises in terms of, between the time you traveled there and paid for the hotel and paid for the table at the conventions and all that kind of stuff. Sometimes it's hard for me to justify taking the time off and spending the money to make those excursions. I'd kind of like to, but it's complicated. I can tell you that I will be, though I don't know if you're aware of this, but my side job is as the artist for King Feature Syndicate, The Phantom, the old comic strip.
No way!
Yeah, and I do the Sunday comic strip for the Phantom that runs all around the country. So every week I have to do a Phantom strip, And I'll be going to the Australian convention next year. The Australian fans are flying me over there to meet them, because the Phantom is very big in Australia by all indications. So that's one convention appearance that I will definitely be making next year in June. In Australia at Supernova.
That is so crazy. The Phantom was one of the first comic strips I got hooked on as a kid. I just like grabbed the Sunday comics and grabbed the comic strips, and I'd read Peanuts and the Phantom, and I can't remember who the other one was, but it was always the Phantom, because I always wanted to see him like riding that white horse. Right. Didn't dawn on me till later. White horse in the jungle, really?
Yeah, guy with a purple bodysuit and the in equatorial Africa. I'm not sure he's making the best decision costume wise, but if that works for you, that's fine. Go ahead and do that.
Hey,
but
you,
not to me, but
yeah, if you're an adolescent girl watching somebody ride a horse in an adventure, you're willing to let stuff slide, and logic kicks in like 12 years later and you go, wait, what?
Yeah, well, I never thought about it either. Phantom ran in my newspaper when I was a kid, and I always loved it. And in great part due to what a great craftsman Cy Berry, the artist from the early 60s on through to somewhere in the 80s, I think. He worked on the Phantom for 30 years, and he was just one of the great comic strip artists, I thought, and still think. So it's a real thrill for me to be following in his footsteps now, too.
Yeah, that is incredible. Are there any plans for, I guess, collecting your Phantom strips for people to read?
I've only been at it for about a year and a half, so there aren't that many to collect. If you think about it,
yeah,
as a weekly strip, there's, you know, maybe, I don't know, 60 or 70. And I just actually finished my first complete storyline, which lasted more than a year. So it will be collected, but it'll be collected overseas. Because both in Scandinavia and Australia, they're really good about collecting the comic strips after they run in comic book form over there. But I don't think anyone's doing it in the United States, so it might be a little harder to locate.
Interesting.
Over here.
Oh, well, if it does come out over here, or when it comes out overseas, that where people can find themselves a copy, let us know. We'll definitely pass that info on.
Well, people can always read The Phantom at the King Features website, where they post all their comics.
That's right.
ComicsKingdom.com.
All right, well,
and The Phantom runs there every day. So if anybody's interested, it's very easily accessible for them.
Cool. We'll include that link in there as well. Where else can people find you other than your websites online?
Online, just my website is robotsandquicksand.com, and then there's jeffweigel.com, which is really my portfolio site. I have to confess that it hasn't been updated since in quite a while, because I became too busy between doing quantum mechanics and the Phantom every week to keep up with it. Jeffweigel.com is mainly geared towards my children's picture book artwork. I need to do something about that one of these days, try and make it a little bit more current. But
how's your social media presence? Do you interact with people who have questions, or do you just...
Yeah, I sure do. Yeah, in fact, if you look for Jeff Weigel on Facebook or on Instagram, I post things there.
Nice.
And a lot of times it's just personal stuff. But also I'll do previews of whatever Phantom strip I'm working on or whatever book I might be working on, just little pieces of artwork for people to whet their appetite with. So if anybody wants to follow me on Facebook or Instagram, I'm happy to give me okay on that. And there are a lot of, actually, Australians mostly, who contact me through Messenger asking about sale of original art of Phantom strips and things. Or with questions about, you know, what I'm working on now. I'm always happy to field those sorts of things. So I'm very accessible.
Cool. Well, we'll include those links on the show notes after all. Jeff, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your designs and your time today.
Well, you're very welcome. I thank you for taking up enough interest in quantum mechanics and the other things that I do to inquire about talking with me for a little while. I appreciate that.
Not a problem. As like I said, something about quantum mechanics just drew my attention, and when I started reading it, I just buzzed right through it, and it was such a fun roller coaster ride, and I realized it's like, he wrote this, he drew this, I have to talk to him. So thank you for sharing.
Well, it was geared for like middle grade kids, but I think anybody that loves comics would really enjoy it. It's not, it doesn't talk down to anybody, and I just think it's a whole lot of fun. So I'm recommending my book to all your listeners.
As am I. Like I said, anyone who's looking for a fun, lighthearted romp, that's a space opera adventure with a different twist. This isn't about fighter pilots and spaceship captains. It's about the people keeping the spaceships in the air.
Yeah, it's very working class bunch of characters. That's one of the other things that I liked about it, too. It's all a bunch of working stuff, just trying to get through life.
Cool. Well, again, Jeff, thank you for your time today.
You're very welcome.
And as I said earlier, you can find the links to Quantum Mechanics in the show notes for this episode at writersafterdark.com. It really is a fun read, and if you're looking for something bright, light, and cheerful, and a little bit funny to maybe turn on some middle grade or young teens into a different type of comic book story, this, I think, would be a fun story to introduce them to. I liked it, and as I said, I'm hopeful that we'll get more. But until then, we will just keep an eye out on other things that Jeff is doing, including the Phantom comic strips. I had no idea he was doing that. That is so awesome. That's one of my earliest comic book additions. I shouldn't say comic book additions, addictions. I should say comics addictions, because I used to grab the Sunday comics, the big color pages, all the time. And it was a while before I realized some of those strips were in the newspaper every day. But if you have any questions or comments, please feel free to call in. The number is 602-635-6976. Or you can send me an email, summer@writersafterdark.com. Throw us your questions, comments, recommendations, any comments you want on the shows that we've done, on the reviews that we've done, feel free. You can check out all the reviews we've done and some of the other shows we've done, as I said, at writersafterdark.com. You can listen to Writers After Dark on iTunes, on Stitcher, on Google Play, and you can also leave us a review on those services as well. I think you can leave a review on Google Play. I'm not entirely sure yet. You can follow us on Twitter at @writeafterdark, and of course, the website, writersafterdark.com. I'd like to thank everyone who's supporting Writers After Dark and Slice of Sci-Fi through Patreon. All of your pledges are welcome and appreciated. They do help keep things online around here. You can check out more information about the Patreon campaign and the perks you can be eligible for over at patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi. I'd like to also thank Shadon and Simon Quest for the theme music here on the show. It caught my attention and kind of really hooked me, and I hope you are enjoying it as well. But that will do it for this episode. See you next time, and remember, keep looking for your own stories.